Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
He is worthy. Praise God. I am so thankful for what God is doing. As I mentioned before, as we started service, just seeing God do some amazing things in our services, and I look forward to more of what He has in store for us for 2019, and lots of good things going on at HWC we want you to be a part of, so make sure to grab a copy of the bulletin if you've not had a chance to grab one of those yet today, or as always, we have all of our events posted online. HWCAgra.com is where you can find an event calendar, and that always has a updated calendar of everything that is going on. Just thankful for what the Lord is doing here in the Heartland and believing God to continue to do great and mighty things. Amen? Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be back in the book of James tonight, and we are continuing our study that we are simply calling Faith in Action. And it's a study through the book of James. We've been through about the first two-thirds of chapter 1, and tonight we're going to look to try to conclude that chapter as we look to answer the question, what is real faith? What is real faith? If you remember, the beginning parts of this chapter is dealing with trials and tribulations, and it specifies the result or what can happen through these trials if we keep our eyes on Jesus. It is a time where our faith is tested, but how many know if we continue to remain faithful to God, God is always faithful to us? How many know that just would testify with an uplifted hand this evening and say, absolutely, I've been there, I've done that, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? No matter what we go through, we can persevere. And the first part of that chapter talks about the value of persevering so that we may be mature, not lacking anything. And I'm thankful for the work that God does in us, even in moments where we may not understand everything that's going on. Amen? Sometimes it might leave us in those moments where we're scratching our heads thinking, okay, not sure exactly why I'm here, but can I tell you something? Never discount what God can do in the situations that we face, good or bad. Amen? Never forget what God can do. Well, tonight I'm going to start off with a story of an event that I witnessed many years back. We were in youth ministry in Garden City and having a great time. One of the local churches brought in an evangelistic team. It was a little bit, we'll say, out of the box, if you will. It's not your typical evangelism group, but this team was known as the Power Team. Anybody familiar with the Power Team? Oh man, I'm going to spoil this in today. Anyway, so great team. These guys are big, right? Their arms are like as big around as this floor monitor here. I mean, they could break you like a twig if they wanted to. You know, I mean, they are weightlifters. They've been in athletics for many, many years of their life, and they came and did an event in the high school auditorium to show and to share the love of Jesus through amazing demonstrations of strength. How many have ever seen the Power Team at work? All right, so most of us in the room tonight. And they would break bricks, right? Or smash through blocks of ice with their feet or with their fists, or do crazy things like tear a phone book in half, which I've been told is not too difficult, but I still haven't figured out how to do it right, you know, or bend rebar into different shapes and all these different things. And it was amazing to watch. And the story that they had behind it was equally amazing, but it wasn't without its disappointment. Here comes the spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear it, plug your ears and all that kind of stuff. All right. It wasn't without its disappointment, as I knew several of the students that were backstage hands for the high school auditorium. And I was back there one day talking to them, and I thought it was cool to see everything going on and everything getting set up for the next round of evangelism. And then I began to hear noises I did not expect to hear. I began to hear power drills and began to hear circular saws in motion. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? I said, are you guys building a set, getting ready for, you know, the next school play or what's happening? No, they're prepping for tonight. Come here, let me show you. And they have these ice blocks, right, that they're smashing so effortlessly with their hands and feet. And what are they doing with the power drill? They're hollowing them out from the backside so you can't see them. The concrete blocks had slits in them so they would break. I always wondered how they always break so nicely in the center. Anyway, and I just remember saying, like, what do you mean? This isn't all real. And one of the guys said, like, no, we could smash through this. And I get it. They could smash through this stuff. But it was for the protection of their hands and, you know, making sure that things gave way as they anticipated they would give. But I remember thinking, wow, that kind of changed for me the illusion, if you will, of what was going on. It helped them make these props more breakable, if you will. Now, don't get me wrong. The event was still success. The illustration was still successful, and people were coming to know Jesus. Amen? It's a fantastic, fantastic event. However, there was an allusion to what was going on that stage. And one thing that I've noticed in life is that our world is good at illusion. In fact, many will pay large amounts of money to see what you might call professional illusionists at work. It's something that has even fascinated folks through the television airwaves. There's guys that go around and do street magic. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't know their names. I've seen a few of their acts on TV or had friends show them to me on YouTube or what have you. These crazy things where people are like, oh, how did you do that? And it amazes me and it raises our curiosity. But there's something that also that I've noticed in life is that when people are looking for something real, an illusion just won't cut it. Hello? An illusion just won't cut it. Such is true in the area of our faith. And that brings us to the question that we aim to answer that I've already thrown at us tonight, is what is real faith? Many people in Western society will make the claim that belief in God is faith, which that is a part of it. Yes, so few expressions of actual faith or belief in God are seen, and that belief has not grown into a relationship with Jesus. Our culture would still profess to believe in Lord by a large percentage. In fact, I'd say it's still upwards of 85 to 90% of Americans would say, yes, I believe in God. But how many realize tonight that we don't see that lifestyle throughout our society? And I don't say that to pick or to prod or to judge or condemn. I say that with a broken heart. Because there is so much more that folks could be experiencing in Christ, yet they haven't desired to go deeper yet in their walk with Him. Our study tonight in James helps us to answer the question regarding real faith, and we will see a quick disclosure of what real faith looks like, what it sounds like in the life of the believer. But before we get there, I want to again give this disclaimer. Please do not dismiss real faith as merely doing the things that God has commanded or instructed His followers to do. And again, like I said this morning, as I'm going to say again tonight, you're going to hear me harping on this quite a bit this year, the difference of being versus doing. The difference of being a follower of Christ versus just doing the actions that we think we're supposed to do. Hello? I can go to church. I can sing during the worship service. I can attend Sunday school. I can even read the Bible and even serve in a ministry, but not be a true follower of Jesus. We're quiet. Come on. Sometimes these types of realities are hard for us to face, but wait a minute. I'm doing all the right things. It's not necessarily about doing the right things as knowing the right person, who is Jesus. And through that knowledge of Christ, through that relationship with Christ, our love for Him will propel us into a ministry that will express said love to others. Will cause us to express our true and genuine worship unto the Lord in our worship services. Our being is what influences our doing. Case in point, an individual that knew what to do, what to say, walked with Christ, talked with Christ, but in the end, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We know him as Judas tonight. Silver being what was revealed as the real master of his life. Real faith, living faith, is much more than going through the motions. And our passage in James helps us to define this and brings out the truth regarding what faith is, what it looks like. Real faith is active faith. Man, it's awfully quiet. Come on now. Real quiet. Real faith is active faith. Real faith is where we place our belief in Christ into motion in the world around us. Real faith is an outward expression of an inward belief and pursuit of Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, Pastor, you just said living faith is more than going through the motions. Isn't that the same thing as active faith? No, let me again explain. Living faith is not something that we just do, it's something that we become. As Christ transforms your being, your heart, such will transform what you do and how you interact with others. Yes, real faith is expressed through action, but it begins with a heart change. And this is what we're going to study this evening. Because faith must be more than a claim. I see heads nodding. Come on. Faith must be more than a claim. Faith must be more than just something that we say is there. Faith is something that we express daily. It is not reserved for Sundays or Wednesdays, but is lived out in our actions and behaviors. And as this, as the beginning half of this chapter made clear, faith that stands through the tests and the trials of life is faith that will persevere. Circumstantial faith, as we looked at in our past studies, that comes and goes according to the seasons of life, is faith that will leave us stranded. Because it's really not faith at all. Tonight we're going to look at James and in this last half of this of chapter 1. And he's going to give three areas of study regarding real faith. Number one, faith comes through the acceptance of God's word. Look at verse 19 with me of James chapter 1. He says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Ever been angry before? No? Carrie says, oh yes. Ever been mad? Ever been upset? I think it's safe to say that we all have. Is James calling out believers for experiencing anger? Is he calling anger a sin in this passage? No, but I want us to be careful how we approach this tonight. Anger is not a sin, but anger can lead us to sin. And this passage looks at something that's very real tonight, dealing with the topic of anger, and talks about the difference that faith can make in said situation. But again, take note, the key in overcoming this is the acceptance of God's word. And verse 20 reveals something desired of us by God, righteousness. But answer for me this question for a moment. Can mankind achieve the level of righteousness God is calling for on our own? No. Certainly not. But do not let this discourage you. For as I've said before, I'm going to say again tonight, if it was possible for humankind to reach that level of righteousness on their own, then the work that Christ did on the cross, well, that wasn't necessary. What Christ did on the cross was necessary because we know tonight there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And that victory could only come through the blood of one who is spotless, through the blood of the Passover Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, whose blood is powerful enough to cover the sins of all who call on his name. I bring this up tonight to make another important point, that again, that we are not saved by works, but by what? By faith in the one who gave his life for us. And God does desire of us a life of righteousness that is obtained through our justification in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk about justification for just a moment. Justification is the process by which sinful people are made acceptable to a holy God. Watch this. This justification comes by way of grace through Jesus Christ. And Christianity is unique because of this teaching. Justification is, listen to this. Justification is God's declaration that the demands of his law have been fulfilled in the righteousness of his Son. That's a pretty powerful statement, I think, that's worth repeating tonight. Justification is God's declaration that the demands of his law have been fulfilled in the righteousness of his Son. Notice again in Scripture where we see Christ talk about the law. He did not come to abolish the law, but to what? To fulfill the law, to become the payment the law required for the sins that we have committed. As we say quite often, he paid the price that we could not pay. And through Christ, God's declaration that God declares that the demands of the law have been fulfilled through Jesus. The basis for this justification, again, is the death of Jesus. His blood covers all sin. So when God justifies, hear this tonight. When God justifies, he charges the sin of man to Christ. Listen to this. And credits the righteousness of Christ to the believer. Let it sink in. When God justifies, he charges the sin of man. He charges my sin, my wrongdoings, my mess ups, my failures. And there's many. Not proud of him. I'm not trying to gloat or. But he takes that. And he charges that to Christ. And then credits the righteousness of Christ to the believer. As sin entered the world through one man, through Adam in Genesis, it was conquered through the death of another man named Jesus. Just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people, according to Romans chapter 5. And verse 18. So how does this all become a reality in the life of an individual? Through faith in Jesus. How do we come to such faith? Through the acceptance and reception of God's word, his special revelation of his redemptive plan. So let's bring this full circle. What does anger have to do with all of this? Remember, we began this point by talking about the sin that can be a result of our anger. Anger is but of one way that our faith can be challenged. Anger itself, again, is not a sin, but it can lead a person to sin. And James is going against the grain here. His instructions are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, three characteristics that I see every single day in the culture around me. Well, a few chuckles tonight. All I gotta do is turn on any form of social media, and you do not see people who are quick to listen, especially not slow to speak. Facebook has given us an outlet. Oh, I'm gonna tell you what I think about that. Come on. Slow to anger. This is absolutely kind of in the face of culture in that day as well as this day, because we're quick to react. And we feel justified in our reaction based off of what that, well, I tell you what, I wish Scott was here tonight. I'd be picking on him a little bit. He was talking about Sunday school, about road rage. Tom, you were there. Jim and Sharon, that was pretty fun. Anyway, don't miss Sunday school. If you guys don't have it, be at Sunday school. Lots of great discussions, great classes to attend. Don't miss out. But talking about road rage, talking about sometimes that quick impulse. Hello? Maybe for road rage, or for you, it's not road rage. Maybe it's smashing your hammer with a thumb. Or can we scratch it? Smashing your thumb. Let me get this right this time. With a hammer. Somebody whip up some coffee for me, please. I told you, Carrie, the meth is just. Boom! boom, and somebody goes into Yosemite Sam mode. How many know what I'm talking about? That impulse, that quick to reaction. People can be quick in offense, quick to stop listening, quick to object with their opinion, which often leads to greater tension. And what he's instructing us here tonight is, do not let anger control you, which is a product of our emotions, a product of our flesh, but rather your faith needs to be your guide, a God-desired response of righteousness. And I'll tell you, I'll speak from my own experience in these things. I'll be transparent in these different things. Listen, there are some moments where it takes the Spirit of God to help me keep my mouth shut. Pastors can lose it too. Right, Daryl? And again, I'm not standing up and trying to brag or to boast or to excuse any of that kind of stuff, but I am telling you there have been moments where I have had to dig deep and call on the Spirit of God to help me keep my flesh in check. Hello? Because in that moment, the next few words out of my mouth can either divide that situation worse than what it is. Come on. Or it can begin the process of working towards resolve. Forgiveness. Or, dare I even admit, apology. In moments like this, James is talking about a very practical part of our life here. Let's broaden this, not just to anger, but just let's incorporate all emotions here for a moment. Should our faith be evident in our emotional responses in life? Absolutely. Because it is a sign of the Spirit being in control of our heart and mind as opposed to us giving away to our flesh. What I have seen most often and what the Word tells us tonight, anger often does not produce the righteousness that God desires of us. It typically produces the fruit of the flesh rather than of our faith. And so we are instructed in the Word tonight to rid ourselves of the moral filth and evil that would otherwise cause an inappropriate emotional reaction and fill ourselves instead with the truth of His Word. Church, Jesus gave His life so that we could live. So that we could live. Not so that we could be dragged down by the reactions of our flesh. My mentor used to tell me this way. Learn to respond instead of react. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Aren't those like the same two things? What are you trying to tell me, Ray? Hang on. Respond instead of react. Instead of giving into that impulse, stop, listen, subdue that anger, hear what's being said, and respond through the Spirit of God instead of react through the impulse of the flesh. It's a sign of our active faith when we choose to let God be in control instead of allowing our flesh to be in control. And it all comes down to the acceptance or the reception of His Word. We choose to live His Word in our lives. Which brings us to the second point tonight. Living His Word equals living faith. Look at verse 22 with me tonight. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. What does He say? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be what? Blessed in what they do. Acceptance of His Word is crucial tonight, but living faith takes His Word to another level, to the level of action. When our faith appears, not only in our words, but also through our actions, it is an outgoing sign of the inward application of His Word. His Word was given not just to be read, but also to be applied. And this means that we must be students of his word and doers of his word. Empty claims can be and will be exposed by actions. Take the aforementioned example of anger, for instance. Again, living faith responds differently where our flesh would love to entertain a potentially destructive emotional outburst. Why is this so tonight? Because the word tells us to respond in love instead of retaliation, to seek resolve, not revenge. So belief in God should result in the belief of God, the desire to take his word seriously. His word was given to shape us and to mold us. It is a guide to living life to the full in Christ. It is better than any self-help book that this world has ever offered. It is the truth, the revelation of God's amazing love for all of mankind. His words are life, and when applied to the heart, his words bring us life. And verse 25 expands this thought to the point of blessing. Why will doers of the word be blessed in what they do? Because God's word is a blessing to us. It removes any kind of second guessing as to what we should do or how we should behave. It becomes our guide in a world that is so full of human reasoning and understanding. We find blessing as we go God's way. We find hope. We find meaning and purpose as we go the Lord's way. It may not always be the popular way, hello? But God's way will always lead to life. Will always lead to life. James goes on to bring the two concepts that we've talked about together. First, the acceptance of the word. Second, doing what the word says is step two. But now he gives an example of what this could look like, or what this does look like in daily life. Look at verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James points out an area of self-deception, and it involves perhaps one of the largest revealers of faith, or the lack thereof, which is the tongue. As will be seen in a later study, the tongue is one of the hardest things for a person to control. That has now graduated into areas such as social media. And I know I kind of say that jokingly, but I want to be very, very serious for a moment when it regards Twitter, Facebook, whatever social media you might find yourself on. Be careful what you post, how you post it, what you share. Because people are watching. And I have seen some very good people, and I'm speaking in general. I've got a lot of friends from all over different areas of the United States and some of the missionaries around this world, and I've seen people who get on a careless rant, post some things that just wasn't good to post. We represent God in all things. We are what? Christ's ambassadors. And I pray tonight, and I'm speaking of myself in this as well, because there's tendencies, there's different things that will come online and I'll begin to read. And sometimes I just, you know what, I want to dive in and I just want to, oh, this is a good argument. You know, I want to put my, and then I realize, you know what, just turn it off and walk away. Because I can feel that impulse beginning to rise up. And I want to be careful, guys, because listen, I don't ever want to put anything out there on one of these that would at any time cause a division from being able to reach into somebody's life that I might run into at the bakery or at Sonic or at Rusty Trout. Are you hearing me? Man, I saw that post you put out there, Pastor, regarding politics. I can't believe it. You know what? I'm not here to represent a political party. I'm not here to push a governor or anything with a president. I am here to represent Jesus. And my prayer is that my opinions, these different things, you know what, in certain contexts, yeah, we'll talk about different things. But you know what? Ultimately, I pray that my life glorifies and honors God in everything I say and do. And the last thing I want to do is build up some wall or build up some divide between me and somebody else who might have a different political opinion that might shut down the opportunity for me to speak Jesus to their life. Okay, rant over. See, I didn't. But are you following me tonight? How we speak and our tongue, as James is talking about tonight, is one of the most difficult things for people often to control. And it reveals our faith. It reveals what's going on. A tongue that speaks like the world is one that is more interested in the ways of flesh instead of the faith. A tongue that speaks, however, like the word, but is not yoked with Christ, again, is also a point of self-deception. Listen, there are damaging things that we can say and put out there, but if we are saying, listen, Christ-like truths, but living out world-like values, such can be more damaging to the kingdom of God. Hello? Because it's a misrepresentation of who Jesus is. And quite honestly, church, our world doesn't need that anymore. They don't need that illusion before them anymore. Come on. Are you with me tonight? I know it's getting kind of late in the day and we're getting heavy-eyed, but follow me for just a moment. Follow me with this. The tongue reveals what lies within the heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 makes this clear in saying, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A tight rein on the tongue can be likened to a careful examination of what is in the heart. If you want to know how someone feels, if you want to know the true heart of an individual, listen to how they talk. Ooh. Because I can promise you, your tongue reveals what you're hiding in here. And my prayer is, God, help me. Help me to examine my heart. But before I look at the attitudes that are conveyed through my speech, or God, reveal to me what might be in my heart that's affecting what comes out of here first. Because if all we do is go here and try to change the habits of what comes out of our mouth, that's a surface level fix, right? It's a Band-Aid. But when we ask God to do a little bit of surgery on our heart and begins to reveal these different things, again this morning, like what I suggested, be careful what you pray for, because God will begin to work in you. Hello? And here comes that process of stretching. Here comes that process of maybe being, bumped out of that comfort zone a little bit. But can I tell you something? If getting bumped out of my comfort zone is going to strengthen my faith and walk with Jesus, I'm all for it. I just can't start griping about it when God starts doing it. Hey, hello? This is what I prayed for. This is what I'm hoping in my life. And so I pray that my faith will lead me to an obedience and a full surrender to God as He is working in my heart. But James starts this next section by talking about the danger that can come if we don't hold a tight rein on our tongues. He says that it's a deception of self and the religion is worthless. But then he shifts gears. He goes to verse 27 and speaks of ministering to the most vulnerable. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the widows, or excuse me, the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He is speaking of the ministry to the hurt, ministry to the broken, to those who cannot fend for themselves. Spiritually tonight, I hope we understand that this could incorporate just about everyone, because when it comes to sin, we all need a Savior. But James is again highlighting the importance of what lies within our hearts. Pure and faultless religion is to look out for the most vulnerable, as Christ did all throughout his ministry. The heart of Jesus, church, was made very clear, not only through his words, hello, but through his actions as well. He would reach out to those who were outcast. He would reach out to those who were literally kicked out of the city because of maybe a physical ailment they were facing. That for most, if they touched them or came into contact with them, they too would become unclean in the eyes of the culture. But when Jesus saw the hurting and the broken, he not only went to where they were, but he made contact, prayed for them, and they were cleansed. They were made whole by his love, by his mercy, by his grace. That's the heart of Jesus tonight. The heart of Jesus was made very clear throughout the Gospels. He not only spoke of the Father's business, he lived the Father's business. And empty claims of faith can be as damaging as making no claims of faith. The tongue reveals what lies within. And I ask ourselves tonight, as I'm asking myself, does your tongue reveal a heart of faith, a heart that has accepted the word of God and desires to live out the word of God? What is real faith? Real faith is not an illusion. Real faith is more than a claim. It is not a hollowed out statement giving the appearance of strength in belief of God. Real faith is living, active faith. And in this section of scripture tonight, the key in this is the word. To know the word and to live the word. And living the word can only come by way of knowing, and knowing will only come by way of pursuing. So it all comes down to the desire of your heart. Do you tonight desire what God desires for you? Active or living faith leads to a life of righteousness. And as we've already talked about this evening, we are not made righteous by our own actions. We are made righteous through the work of Christ on the cross. However, knowing Christ will change us. Becoming a Christ follower leads us to living as Christ would direct us to live. Active faith is a response to being a follower of Jesus. And I wonder, is that our desire tonight, to be a follower of Christ? It's pretty safe to say, well, yes, sir, that's my desire. We wouldn't otherwise be at church at Sunday night church. Amen. We're here because we desire to follow the Lord. And this evening, as we get ready to close here in just a few moments with prayer, our faith begins with knowing Jesus. Our faith begins with having a relationship with him. And if we could close our eyes and bow our heads all across this place, I want to ask a question, and I never want to take for granted our position with the Lord or our relationship with Jesus. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him? Have you accepted his word? Have you accepted the truth tonight that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Have you accepted the truth tonight that we all need a Savior? We all need a Redeemer. Have you accepted the truth tonight that Jesus is that Savior? Belief in God, or faith in God, is more than just a statement of saying, yeah, I believe in God. Faith in God, living faith in God, moves us to a place where we know we've sinned, but we know Jesus is that Savior we so desperately need. And it moves us to a place of repentance. and moves us to a place where we get on our knees before the Lord and we cry out to Him as we ask Him to come into our lives. Do you know Him tonight? This evening, if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, my relationship with Christ is just not where it needs to be. This evening, I want to receive Him. I want to accept His word. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to repent of my sins. I want to give it all to Jesus and live for Him. If that's you, just right where you're at, would you raise your hand so I can see? And put it back down. Is there anybody here tonight that would say that's me? Amen. Real faith begins with knowing Jesus, but real faith continues with living as Christ lived. And this is the application of His word to our life. This is where our being a Christ follower is lived out as we do Christ-like ministry. I don't think any one of us here tonight would be here if not for active faith. And I'm thankful tonight for the pursuit. I'm thankful tonight for the desire to know the Lord more. And to kind of tag on to the service, what we talked about this morning, this week being the week of prayer nationally for the Assemblies of God and the different prayer points that we'll be looking at on a daily basis. My prayer is that through 2019... that my faith would increase, that my faith would be strengthened. And very specifically tonight, through the area of not only hearing His word, but living His word.